Father, we thank you in the name of your Son. I thank you today. We thank you today, Father, that you sent your Holy Spirit, who is our teacher. Holy Spirit, we need you to teach us. There is some new, fresh revelation here that we have not yet heard or discovered, but we want to walk in it. Father, we want everything that you have for us while we're here on this earth. We don't want to get to heaven and regret that we missed any opportunity we had on earth to make a change, to make a change for the kingdom of God. So as we study this today, Holy Spirit, please give me clarity of mind. Give us clarity of mind. Help us to understand and to receive this word, and grant us the power to enforce it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I started out titling this with praying, declaring, and decreeing. Okay, and there is a difference. And since your blessing last week was Matthew 16, verse 19, I jump started off of that verse, and today I am reading from the Amplified Bible, because in my studies it just said it the best. When I went back to the Greek and the Hebrew, it made it more plain. Okay? So I'm going to start here. Matthew chapter 16, and there's a lot here, folks, and so we're not going to be able to touch on everything. I want you to understand that, okay? But I gave this to you so you would please study it out. And as God gives you more revelation, write it down and share it with us, right? As iron sharpens iron, right? As iron sharpens iron. Let's start back. I do at least want to do this. Verse 13. Now when Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they answered, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you yourselves say that I am?" And Peter was the only one that we have recorded that responded. Mm-hmm. Simon Peter replied, and we know Simon's impulsive behavior, don't we?
Yes.
But Simon was not impulsive here. Simon replied, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus looked directly at him and said, "Blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, or Simon, son of Jonah. For flesh and blood, men have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Simon got a revelation. It didn't come out of his soul, it came out of his spirit. Mm-hmm. And Simon was known to always respond with his soul. So we're talking about revelation this morning.
Yes.
We're talking about revelation knowledge this morning, okay? "And I tell you, you are Peter," or Greek, Petros, "a large piece of the rock. And on this rock," Greek, Petra, "a huge rock like Gibraltar, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades, the powers of the infernal region, shall not overpower it or be strong to its detriment or hold out against it. The gates of hell do not have enough strength to hold out against us." Against the church.
Mm-hmm.
And against revelation. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's just church. I think it's revelation. The gates of hell don't have enough strength to hold out or to resist or hold its ground against revelation. Y'all, revelation, that's why we wait on God for the word to pray. Because revelation is the power of God that the gates of hell cannot stand against.
Amen.
Revelation.
Amen.
That's what Peter got. He got revelation.
Yes.
"I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind, you declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already bound in heaven. Mm-hmm. And whatever you loose, you declare to be lawful on earth must be what is already loosed in heaven."
Mm-hmm.
Now, the New Living Translation says this a little bit differently. So I'm like, "Lord, what is this?" Okay, let's go back to the Amplified. "Whatever you declare to be unlawful on earth must already be unlawful in heaven. Whatever you declare to be lawful on earth is allowed, must already be allowed in heaven." But the New Living Translation says, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven." Are you kind of seeing the difference there?
Yeah.
Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. It seems like it is, but it really isn't. Okay? Whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. It sounds, and it is. It's worded differently, but the truth is in the will be. The truth is in the will be, and the truth is also in the forbid and the permit. And as we go on, you're going to see that. These verses say in a different way the same thing. And as we go on, you're going to see. Because it sounds like in the Amplified, they're saying, okay, before you can declare anything on earth to be unlawful, it's got to already be unlawful in heaven, right? Before you can declare anything on earth to be, did I say lawful first? Before you declare anything on earth to be unlawful, it's got to not be allowed in heaven. And it sounds like in the New Living Translation, he says, now whatever you declare on earth will be that way in heaven. Well, we know that everything that goes on earth and is declared on earth is not right, is it? That heaven's not in agreement with everything that goes on earth. So there's something a little bit deeper here that as we go on, that both translations are really talking about. So as we go on, we're going to find out. Okay? You ready? Okay. I looked up, in your notes there, I looked up the Greek word bind. It's number 1220. It means to knit, to tie, like you bind something together, right? Mm-hmm. To knit, to tie, even to wind. Like you're taking, that's not wind, that's wind. And you're winding it, okay? You're binding it, you're tying it up, okay? It comes from another word that means it is necessary or should. In other words, it should be this way. It's a necessity. Mm-hmm. It's got to happen this way, okay? And it comes from another word that means a petition. Number 1189, right there in your notes. A petition. To beseech, that means to cry out to God. You're beseeching God means earnestly. A petition is like you are petitioning God. We know what a petition is, right? When people want to change things, they send around a petition. Well, oh, glory to God. This is talking about making a change. Okay, this is talking about making a change to how something is in your life, in a situation, okay? And it also translates pray. Binding oneself or to make a request. Okay, so I think we got a pretty good definition of bind, but let's review it again. So whatever you bind on earth must be bound in heaven. I'm going to prefer to quote this from the Amplified, but you're going to see how the New Living Translation is saying the same thing as I go on, okay? So whatever I am knitting myself together here, whatever I'm allowing myself to be knitted to, whatever I'm allowing myself to be tied to on earth. Ooh, glory to God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Whatever I have decided based on the Word of God, because it's got to be the same thing that's done in heaven, right? It can't be my whims and my fancies, okay? Whatever I have known that, God, this is necessary, this should happen, God, it becomes my petition to you. Ooh, don't shout me down, church. It becomes my prayer because I am binding myself. Amen. Oh, God, I am binding myself to this request and this petition. Amen. Okay, you got that? We got a good understanding of that? Mm-hmm. Okay. Loose. Whatever you loose on earth must be loosed in heaven. Yes. Whatever you bind yourself on earth must be what God wants you to bind yourself to in heaven. Mm-hmm. Okay? There's only one on earth that I should bind myself to, and that's the Lord Jesus and His Word, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, whatever I loose on earth must be loosed in heaven. I've heard this used so many wrong ways, and even when I thought I had a right understanding of it, God is still even revealing more of an understanding to this by looking up these Greek words. Okay, loose. In the Greek is number 3089. To loose. To break up, destroy. To dissolve, to melt, to put off, and it says compare to number 4486. When you look it up, it says compare it to this one. It means to shatter into minute fragments. Y'all, when you shatter something into minute fragments, you ever dropped a dish and there was no way it could be put back together?
No way.
When you lose some things according to the Word of God, you and heaven backs you up. You are shattering that thing into minute fragments. You are causing a disruption to the gates of hell. And Jesus said, these are the keys, and the gates of hell don't have enough power to stand against. I am talking about revelation knowledge. When God gives you a revelation, a rhema word. When God gives you a rhema word like He did Peter, a revelation straight from God, that revelation, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit, you're making it real. That Peter was, he was in total tune with heaven when that came out of his mouth, wasn't he?
Yes.
He wasn't operating from his soul. His spirit man was bind up, tied up. it was petition. Heaven was petitioning through Peter, because he said, Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. You didn't learn this out of textbook, and you didn't learn this from the synagogue, and you didn't learn this from the religious leaders. You learned it from my Father in heaven. You got revelation, Peter, of who I am. Okay. So then, you loose means you're going to break it up, you're going to destroy it, you're going to dissolve it, you're going to melt it, you're going to put it off, you're going to shatter it into minute pieces, you're going to disrupt it. That means you're going to declare it to be unlawful.
Amen. Amen.
Now it seems backwards here, in a way. Okay, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that, okay? Because if you read this, let's read it again. I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, must be what is already bound in heaven. Okay? Okay? Whatever you loose, you declare to be lawful. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Listen, when you stand, it seems like it's, now maybe not to you, but to me, it seems like it's a little discombobulated there. Well, God, if I loose it, you said loose is destroy. But you said if I loose it, I have to declare it's lawful. Because when you declare that it's lawful, you are destroying the work of the enemy.
Amen.
When you declare that it is lawful, you are destroying that thing into minute pieces that it cannot be put back together again. It's not standing there saying, I bind you, and I'm not saying anything's wrong with that, but we need a deeper understanding of it. Y'all, it happens when we speak the positive.
Yeah. Yes.
When we loose it, God's sending destruction. Mm-hmm. But the loosing it is the positive. He said, whatever you loose, you declare to be lawful. When you declare what is lawful, automatically when you declare what is unlawful cannot stand.
Amen.
Do you understand that?
Yeah.
But first it comes, you have to bind yourself to Christ.
Yeah.
Okay? What the seven sons of Sceva tried to cast the devil out. They said, Peter, we know, because he said, in the name of Peter, I adjure you. Was it Paul?
Paul,
thank you. In the name of Paul, I adjure you to come out. I command you to come out. There's no authority in the name of Paul.
That's right.
Yeah.
And the demon spoke and said, Jesus, we know. And Paul, we know, but who are you?
That's right.
You have to bind. See, there is no shortcuts to getting revelation from God. There are no shortcuts to walking in the power and the authority of God's word. We have to bind ourselves to heaven.
Yes.
We have to bind ourselves to heaven. How do I do that? I do that through His word and asking Holy Spirit for revelation knowledge. That's how I do that. That's how I know what is allowed. I'm binding myself to what is in heaven. So therefore, because I have bind myself or tied myself or knitted myself to what is going on in heaven, and I know that through the word of God, because Jesus showed us what heaven is like, didn't he?
Yes.
Didn't he?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
He showed us what heaven, all who wanted to be healed got healed. All who wanted to be saved got saved. All who wanted the devil to leave had the devil cast out. Is that right?
Yes.
Is that right? Amen.
Yes. Amen.
So when I bind myself, when I tie myself or knit myself through prayer, through petition, to what is going on in heaven, I seek God for what is for It's like, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, Amen. And all these things shall be Amen. Added unto you. When I bind myself to what's going on in heaven, and then I declare that's unlawful. Whatever you declare is unlawful, you declare it's unlawful because you've already bound yourself to heaven, and heaven's going to back up what you declare.
Amen.
Am I making it clear?
Mm-hmm.
So the binding is that you're binding yourself to heaven. So you know what the will of God is through His Word. So therefore, you know what is unlawful. Okay. Because you know what is unlawful, you say what is unlawful because you've already heard it in His Word, that it's not allowed. It's not lawful. Okay? So when you declare what is unlawful on earth, it is because it's already been declared unlawful in heaven.
Amen.
And when you loose and you declare what is lawful on earth, it's because it's already lawful in heaven. And when you declare what is lawful in heaven, then you destroy into minute pieces what it says right here. You loosen, you break up, you destroy, you dissolve, you melt, you put off, you shatter to minute pieces, or you disrupt the work of the devil. But it's got to be the Word of God.
Amen.
Not your opinion about it.
Amen.
Not your opinion, not your emotions. It's got to be the Word of God that you are using. Because that's where is the eternal Word of God? He's seated at heaven. He is still the Word of God made flesh. And this is His Word right here. All of this is His Word right here. So when you declare this, you are declaring, I'm getting ahead of myself. When you say this, when you bind and you loose, it's because you're in total agreement with heaven. You know what the will of God is in heaven, and you are declaring it. And it is the same as the New Living Translation. And the key here is because there is communication and agreement in your life between heaven and earth. Both translations are saying the same thing, because there is communication and agreement in you, earth, you, between you and heaven. You're in agreement with heaven. Okay? We got that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't think I can make that any more clear. Okay, let's keep on going. Okay, Matthew, and I'm not going to read all this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 3. I gave you some examples of prayer. This is not the Lord's prayer. This is the disciples' prayer. The disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Amen?
Yes.
But you know, I have proof of that. Well, there's lots of proof of that. The first thing is the disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And the second is, Jesus has no trespasses.
Mm-hmm.
And that prayer says, forgive us our trespasses, and we forgive those who have trespassed against us. That is not the Lord's prayer. He had no trespasses. Am I right? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So Matthew 6, a part of that, I'm not going to read all that, but a part of that says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, at that point, the kingdom had not come. Is that right? When Jesus prayed that prayer, the kingdom had not come. The king was there, but the kingdom had not been established. Because later on, Jesus said, don't run over here or over there. If they say, oh, the kingdom of God is here, run over there. The kingdom of God is there. No. He said, the kingdom of God, he was making a declaration. And we're going to get into that. Jesus was making a declaration. The kingdom of God does not come with the natural eye observation, but the kingdom of God is where? Within you.
Amen.
Within you. So at this point, he's saying, you pray like this. You pray for the kingdom of God to come. That's how you pray.
He actually said it's in your mouth. Mm.
Yes, the word of God is nigh you even in your mouth.
Amen.
That's what you mean? Amen?
Yes.
Okay, so he said, you pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those, just like we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. And I add, amen. Okay? Okay, so do you see that Binding and loosing is communication and agreement between heaven and earth.
Yes.
You see that?
Yes.
Okay. John 17:9-26. That's the priestly prayer of Jesus. That's Jesus' prayer, the priestly prayer. Okay? Your mama sitting over there, she's looking at me, Anna, like, what is this woman? She was like, what kind of... Amen. I know. As fast as I'm going, there's no way you can enter. And I apologize for that.
No.
I know her heart is willing, but I apologize that... Okay, John 17. I'm not reading all of this because we're going to get on into the heart of the matter. But John 17 is what Jesus prayed for us, saints. It's what he prayed for us. Okay? So, I've never known Jesus not to get what he wants.
Hallelujah.
So this is established. His prayer is established. So let me see if I can... I didn't highlight this Bible. Let me see if I can just get some key points here. Verse 9. I'm praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they belong to you.
Amen.
Okay? 11. This is already done. And now I am no more in the world, but these are still in the world. I am coming to you, Holy Father. Did he go to the Father? Yes. Keep in your name, in the knowledge of yourself, those who you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. So that's what's already been done. That's already been done. Okay? That's how it is in heaven. While I was with them, I kept and preserved them in your name, in the knowledge and worship of you. Okay? Except for the son of perdition who fell. Okay, now let's go on over. Verse 15. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them, protect them from the evil one. So are we kept and protected from the evil one? That's what is going on in heaven. That's what we say. Amen. I am kept and protected from the evil one. Shall no evil come near my dwelling place. Okay, we say what he said. Okay. 17. Sanctify them, purify and consecrate and separate them for yourself. Make them holy by truth. Your word is truth. So this is our statement concerning this. Your word, Jesus, your word to me, that I read, I take and receive, makes me holy.
Yes.
It sets me apart and sanctifies me to you. That's what he said.
Amen.
Okay? Let's keep on going. 21. That they may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. That they also may be one in us. I am one in the Father and I am one in the Son. Amen. I am one. I am one with them. If you are one with someone, then you have the same thoughts that they have. You know what they know. Is that right?
Yes.
That they may be one, just as you, Father, and are in me and I am in you, that they also may be in us, that they may be one in us.
Mm-hmm.
Now that sounds like knitted together to me and tied and wind up. So that the world may believe and be convinced that you have sent me. Okay? And he says, I have given to them the glory and honor you have given to me. Jesus has given me the glory and honor that the Father gave to him.
Yes.
He said it right there.
Yes.
Okay? Let's see if there's another truth here. Oh, here you go. Yeah, 23. Yes, thank you. I in them and you in me, in order that they may become one and perfectly united, and that the world may know and definitely recognize that you sent me and that you have loved them even as you have loved me. So Jesus loves, the Father loves me just like he loved Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
See you next time.
That's why nothing can separate me from the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
Did anything separate Jesus from the love of God?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Nothing. Okay.
What they're doing. Couldn't separate him. Just be to God. It's all for us.
Okay, and he says in last verse 26, you have bestowed upon me Let's read it all. I have made your name known to them and revealed your character and your very self. So, can I walk in the very character of Christ?
Yes.
Can I know the very character of Christ?
Yes.
Can I recognize in myself and even in others that might say that they bear the name of Christ? Am I able to recognize the character of Christ?
Yes.
Can I look at them and say, okay, that's the character of Christ?
Yes.
Okay?
You don't have to judge.
No, that's not judging.
No, that's not.
That's not judging. You're looking for the character that Christ said should be in them. Let's read again. I have made your name known to them and revealed your character and your very self. And I will continue to make you known. He will continue to do this for us. That's revelation.
Mm-hmm.
That the love which you have bestowed upon me, to know the Father is to love Him. To love the Father is to know Him. The more you love Him, the more you want to know Him. The more you know Him, the more you love Him. You can't love Him unless you know Him. You can't love Him unless you know Him. You know that the love which you have bestowed upon me may be in them, may be felt in their hearts, and that I myself may be in them. Okay, that's the priestly prayer. Please read that and meditate on it. Ephesians 6, verse 18. I'm not going into all of this, but here's another type of prayer. See, this binding is prayer, y'all. This binding in Matthew is prayer. It's communication. Prayer is communication with God, right?
Yes.
It's also, and you know, a good part of communication is listening. You know, we take courses on better listening. Do you know the first step in better listening is not speak? Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.
Amen.
And then we start chattering. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to speak. God, I'm speaking. The Lord says, I'm speaking, but you haven't set yourself to hear.
Yes, Lord.
You know what might be good for all of us to do? And sometimes the Lord will make it possible for all of us to do it. There's a song I want to get Noel to get for us, to play for us. But this man says, worship is more than a song. And it's like, spend a time along with God where there's nothing else on your agenda and shut yourself in with Him and have Him to speak to you. Shut yourself along with God and have Him, and just say, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me about my life. That takes courage. That is not a prayer for wimps. So Ephesians 6:18, all manner of prayer and entreaty. 1 Timothy 2:1 talks about petitions, intercession, prayers, thanksgiving. And then I did note here 1 John 5:15, this petitions in the Greek. What's a petition? I was just curious. You know, what's a petition? It's anything you ask.
Yeah.
Do you hear that? Okay, because if I am so in tune with heaven, I'm never going to ask anything that heaven won't allow. Because if I start to ask, I'll immediately.
Right.
If I'm being trained by heaven, a petition is anything I ask of God. You have what you ask because you keep my commandments.
Yes.
And my commandments are not grievous to you. 1 John 5:14-15. And we are confident that He hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases Him. And since we know He hears us when we make our request, we also know that He will give us what we ask for. Okay, let's rewind the tape. You're confident that He hears you. How can you be confident that He hears you? You're in communication.
Yes. Good amen.
You're in communication with heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, I only say what I hear my Father say. I only do what I hear see my Father do.
Yeah.
You're in communication with heaven. Amen. You're in communication with heaven. We are confident that He hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases Him. And since we know He hears us, what's the next logical conclusion? I'm going to have what I ask Him for.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
And that's a request.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, that's anything ask.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't He say He would answer you before you called?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought the thought and it showed up at your door?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Okay, let's go into declaring. What is declaring? Isaiah 42, verse 9 and verse 12. I didn't give us a lot of things here. I exercised self-control when I wrote this up. But look up the word declare and decree in your Strong's Concordance or whatever source you use. Look that up. You will be absolutely amazed. I highlighted some of these. Okay, declaring. Isaiah 42, verse 9, verse 12. Now, let's get there. Okay. Isaiah 42, verse 9. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. That's the word declare. What I did is went to the Strong's and looked up the word declare. Okay? The former things have come to pass. Former things have come to pass? What was prophesied would happen has happened. Isaiah says, it's happened.
Yeah.
It's happened. He says, new things I declare. The prophet saying, the things I already declared have come to pass. Now new things I'm declaring. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them.
Mm-hmm.
Did Isaiah receive perfect revelation about Christ and Him suffering for our sins and for our healing?
Yes.
Oh, yes, he did.
Yes,
he did. Okay, what does declare here means? It means to front or to stand boldly out opposite.
Mm-hmm.
What in the world does that mean? Isaiah had to deal with some things just like we're going to have to deal with some things. If we're going to declare some things in our life, we're going to stand out boldly against opposites. There's going to be some opposing things. There's going to be some things opposite that we're going to experience from what we are declaring. Isaiah experienced that. Did everybody believe Isaiah in his day?
No.
Did anybody believe his prophecy? Did they receive his prophecy? No, Jesus said, he called the religious leaders, he said, you stoned the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
You stoned the prophets that were speaking for God.
Mm-hmm.
They went under severe persecution, church. To stand out, to stand boldly out opposite. Like, this is what's going on, but I'm going to stand out boldly opposite this. I'm going to stand right here in this place opposite this. Why? Because that's not allowed in heaven. Come on, y'all. To manifest, to announce always by word of mouth. So a declaration of something's got to come out of our mouth.
Yes.
You just can't just say, I declare God's word is true. What part of God's word is true?
Yes.
What part are you declaring?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
To rehearse. To rehearse.
Mm-hmm.
What's a rehearsal?
A
rehearsal is a trial run before the real thing, right? This is a rehearsal. The words that come out of my mouth. This is a rehearsal for heaven. Now, I'm not going to get into a lot of this because I don't have a lot of knowledge on this yet. But, you know, there's going to be a time when the New Jerusalem, those that make it in the rapture, and there's a New Jerusalem that's suspended in heaven, where we're going to come to earth and we're going to teach those that are born in the millennial reign. We're going to teach them. How can you teach them if you haven't even used your dress rehearsal to get prepared?
Mm.
Mm. I'm not angry, Mama. I'm not angry, Mama. I get excited. I'm not mad at anybody. I just get excited. To show forth or to utter. So a declaration is something that's got to come out of your mouth. Just like the prophet. You know what? I have an advantage. Well, Isaiah was speaking under the Spirit of God, so I really can't say. He had a revelation from God. Isaiah knew. he stood out boldly opposite, because stuff like this had never been heard before. Just like Noah. When he got ready to build the ark. Rain? We've never seen rain. Did Noah have to stand out boldly opposite against what was going on? At that time, all that ever happened on the earth was that the mist came up from the ground to water the earth. They never even saw rain. But he had to stand out boldly against and make a declaration. Y'all, in some ways, we have an extreme advantage because we know this stuff already happened.
Yes.
And I'm getting ahead of myself. A declaration is something that's already happened. Y'all, you're just declaring what already happened, y'all. What God already said happened in His Word. Okay, let's keep on going. But you got to open your mouth and utter it. You just can't stand it with your mouth shut. Isaiah 12:4. Turn over to, well, you have to go backwards. I'm sorry. Isaiah 12:4. Oh, did I read verse 19 there? I didn't, did I? Let's go back. I didn't read all of that. I mean, verse 12. I read verse 9, but I didn't read verse 12. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare His praise in the islands and coastal regions. Do you believe by faith? Now, this, for some people, this is very far-fetched. I realize for some people I'm reaching further than maybe their arms can grasp. But do you believe when I praise God that I can praise Him, that I can praise Him in such a way and give glory to God in such a way that the islands and the coastal regions will hear it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
I'm not even there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Isaiah 12. Well, He says you can praise Him yet for a generation not born.
Yeah.
Isaiah 12:4. Okay, Isaiah 12:4. Okay, Isaiah 12:4. This is declarations. And in that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, and by means of His name in solemn entreaty declare and make known His deeds among the peoples on the earth. Mm-hmm. Proclaim that His name is exalted. Mm-hmm. Declare that His name is exalted. And this word means to know by seeing. Mm-hmm. To know by seeing. Mm-hmm. To know by seeing. And the prophet did hear. He knew by seeing because he saw into the spirit realm. But also we know because we have seen. Mm-hmm. Right?
Amen.
We know because we have seen. Isaiah was prophesying things he had not yet seen. And in that day you will say, give to the Lord, mm-hmm. give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name by means of His name in solemn entreaty, declare and make known His deeds among the peoples of the earth. Proclaim that His name is exalted.
Amen.
Okay, let's keep on going. First John chapter 17, you have to correct that. The Strong's Concordance made a mistake, and I didn't catch until this morning when I was reviewing this. It's 1726. There is no verse 29 in Psalm 17. That's the first mistake I've ever found in the Strong's Concordance. 1726. Greek. That's in the Greek. John 1726. 1726. I have made your name known to them and revealed your character and your very self. I will continue to make you known, or they declare, that the love which you have bestowed upon me may be in them, felt in their hearts, and that I myself may be in them. Okay, that declare there means to certify. Jesus says, I'm certifying some things.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus already certified. Some things have already been certified. What happens when something's certified? It's guaranteed.
Yes.
Certified funds are guaranteed funds. The bank guarantees that it's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
When you put that check that you get from the bank into your account, it's guaranteed funds that those funds are going to be there. It's certified. God says, this has been certified. My word has been certified and guaranteed. Acts 13:41. Okay. That's number 1555 in the Greek. And it means to narrate wholly. Now, in this passage, I'm not going to turn there and read that for the sake of time, but this is a passage where Paul was preaching after the Holy Spirit had come. He'd been baptized and full of the Holy Spirit. Peter. I keep on getting these two gentlemen today. Peter was preaching. In chapter 13, he was preaching, and he started from the prophets. He started from Moses, Abraham, went all the way through to David, and he was preaching and proclaiming what had already happened. That word means to narrate through wholly. That means he didn't leave anything out. And that was a message. I'm telling you, that was a message. Talk about preaching. Acts 13. He had an audience and he preached. He declared everything. Okay? If you read that, you will see. I'm not going to read all that because that would just take a lot of time. But he declared, he gave them a sermon, a synopsis from the very beginning, what God had done, and it is powerful. And the law, he started reading from the law and the prophets, and then he began explaining it to them from the Israel, their forefathers, right down to Samuel, then right down to David, and down to Christ, and well, down to John the Baptist, and then down to Christ, okay? So, Paul was making a declaration of what had already happened. Yeah. Or was this Peter? I apologize. It was Peter. Mm-hmm. Was it Peter? Help me out, y'all. Help me out. And Barnabas and Saul, it was Saul, and Barnabas and Saul came back from Jerusalem when they completed their mission, bringing with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now in the church assembly at Antioch, there were prophets. Okay. While they were worshiping and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, and separate Paul. Okay. When they arrived, so it was Paul. My apologies. It was Paul. It was Paul that was preaching there. Okay, I was getting those two confused. It was Paul. I had to write my notes, Paul, and I still got it confused. Okay, 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. I'm not going to read that again for the sake of time. But that's number 518, to announce, to report, to show again, to tell. Okay? So, Carmen had shared this with me, a teaching, and I had looked over it, and then, like I said, I had gone into the Greek and the Hebrew and looked up the words. But in this teaching, there's this consideration of declaration to help us understand what a declaration is. Okay, everybody has probably heard of that when you go through, when you travel internationally, okay, you have to declare. They'll ask you, do you have anything to declare? And Carmen, if you have anything to add to this while I'm on this, say so. Do you have anything to declare? I'm trying to give us a practical or an application here of what this means spiritually, okay? And what are they asking you for? What are the agents of that country that you're coming into? What are they asking? They're asking for specifics of what you have.
Yes.
What do you have? Do you have anything to declare?
You have like
what do you have?
Fruits.
Mm-hmm.
Fruits. Rum, roast bread fruit, and we used to carry all those things. They said you have to declare it. If you don't declare it and they search it, then they take away everything that you have. Yeah. And that don't declare.
Well, that'll preach right there. Now that will preach right there. What are you carrying?
What are you carrying?
Okay. Spiritually, declarations. Look in your notes. Spiritually, declarations are what we speak into the atmosphere. Who lives in the atmosphere? The principalities, the powers, the rulers of darkness. Yes, that's what we speak. Mm-hmm. Making known what we already have.
Mm-hmm.
No, this is mine. You can't take it. This is my declaration. This is what I already have.
Mm-hmm.
This is what Christ has already given to me.
Yes.
This is what I have. We know what we have mm-hmm. through His Word. Mm-hmm. We have salvation through the blood mm-hmm. of Jesus Christ. We have power and authority to use His name.
Mm-hmm.
We have that, right?
Yes.
Okay. We have healing in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We already have that, right?
Yes.
Amen. We're not waiting on it for God to do it for us. Jesus already did it for us, right?
Yes.
We have eternal life through Jesus Christ, don't we?
Amen.
We have peace. He is our peace. Amen. Okay. Now, she had an interesting thought. If you don't declare it, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. If you don't make that declaration when you come through, mm-hmm. they're asking you, what do you have to declare? Mm-hmm. But if you don't make that declaration and they search inside of you mm-hmm. or search your stuff mm-hmm. and find out you got something you didn't declare, mm-hmm. they're going to do what? They're going to take it from you. Now let's look at this spiritually. Now how many people, now let's look at this spiritually. How many saints of God have been robbed mm-hmm. from the blessings of God? It's been taken away from them because they wouldn't stand up and make declarations against the enemy about what God said.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
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 Because mm-hmm. if you listen to the enemy long enough, in some cases, he will try to convince you even that yes. you're not even born again.
Yes.
Hello?
Amen. I was thinking about, is it a good analogy to say also when you go to court or you have like to go to witness or something, you have to make a declaration. If you saw something or something, anything that has to do with the court or the accuser, or you are a witness, you're supposed to do a declaration of what you saw. And I was thinking about back in Puerto Rico, my country, a lot of people, it's very afraid to make those declarations mm. because they're afraid that their lives or something bad could happen to them. Mm. So the declarations in court and all that does not hold on over there a lot because of that. But when you go to court, it's a good analogy to mm-hmm. say that yes. you have to do a declaration mm-hmm. of whatever you know or whatever you saw or anything that pertains to the case. I was just thinking about
key word, what you know. Mm-hmm. A spiritual declaration, what you know, what you're convinced of beyond all doubt. Mm-hmm. So you have to know it and get it settled, and it has to be convinced. You have to be convinced in your soul beyond all doubt that you know it.
Amen.
That you know it. Carolyn, you have something to say, and then Carmen, I'm coming to you.
Matthew 4, when Satan, after Jesus was on the mountain for 40 days, and Satan came to tempt Jesus, and Jesus used the word, mm-hmm. you know what thus says the Lord. You mm-hmm. using the word, you don't have to be afraid of the enemy.
Mm-mm.
Right.
Because you got the word.
That's
and
right.
that's what Jesus said. It is written.
It is written. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm. If you use that, he's going to flee temporarily, but know that it is written. This is what, you don't do this. You don't say this. This is what the word said. And I'm standing on what the word said. I don't care how it looks, smells, act, whatever. The word says
that's
this.
What the
and
word
I
says,
believe.
That's what I do. That's the declaration.
Yes, a declaration.
That's the declaration. Carmen, you had a thought?
I got a couple real quick. I think healing's probably one of the greatest. And that's where even believers, first of all, you have churches that all they minister and preach on is salvation. Mm-hmm. So what do you see in that house is the only thing they declare. Mm-hmm. You only see salvation. Mm-hmm. Then you have houses that they stretch over and now they believe in healing. Mm-hmm. But that's all that's ministered is salvation and healing. So what do you see in that house? It's yeah. salvation and healing. Salvation. Then you go on and on and on and you come to us that we're open to everything you have, Father. Right. We declare all of it. Mm-hmm. So healing is probably one of the greatest attacks. So when we say that we bind and loose, mm-hmm. we're not just speaking about, it is part of it, but if you look into the definitions, it's the last definition of our Father's heaven. We are mainly speaking about binding and loosing in the second heaven. The heaven that is right above us where the enemy is. And that's why and where many times we declare because we already believe that it's ours, mm-hmm. and then we decree it, and the next day is we get an attack. Because the enemy is pushing up against right. our gate, and we push back with our gate. No, this is what our, this That's is right. what our That's God's right. word says, and you have to stand your ground, and then that enemy will release and relinquish because he can't stand up against your gate, because he cannot come up. God's word is more powerful.
Yes.
That's why you got to stand your ground. And when it comes to healing, you can't say the junky stuff. Well, you got to die somehow. If God will heal me. Hell no!
That's right.
It is by his stripes I'm healed.
You got to be convinced.
No matter what, you can't let that junk come out of your mouth, because that's where you lose the declaration. The decree still stands. But you lose the declaration. Because there is a difference. Mm-hmm. God's word is true no matter what. Right. He has decreed yes. it. He it is done. He's not going back to that whipping post.
No.
You have to continue to believe in the declaration, and you have to keep moving forth with that decree.
Yes.
And every day that word is, Lord, I thank you. I decree that you said in Peter that by his stripes I'm healed. You said in Isaiah that you were wounded and bruised for my healing. There's Amen. All differences there, and I got Amen. That. But it's still true. Amen?
Amen.
Lord, you said in Deuteronomy that you would bless my food and my water,
Amen.
And I am healed.
Amen.
Because I trust in you. You said that you would heal me. It says in another scripture. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Healing is where it seems like we lose it the most. And we have to, it's that fight in the realm above us.
Mm-hmm. In the atmosphere.
It's in the atmosphere. And it's where we got to put it.
But we've got to be determined, and we've got to keep on fighting, and we've got to watch what comes out of our mouth.
We've got to stand our ground, because the gates of hell cannot prevail against
and that's,
his word
that's
that
right.
comes out.
And so a declaration is what we already have. So now we're going to move into what a decree is.
Okay.
We're getting ready to move into that after Robert.
I wanted to add on what Carolyn said, because in Matthew where she said, you know, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.
Mm-hmm.
He goes on further to tell you what to do. Mm-hmm. Because he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of
That's
God.
Mm-hmm.
And then he also said further on, he said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And he also said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and the Lord thy God only.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Okay, so he just tells you the procedure, what you got to do. You just got to mm-hmm. tell him, hey, man, I don't live by bread alone. I live by a word that comes out of the mouth of God,
Amen.
And I'm claiming it.
I'm speaking
so,
that word. I'm
speaking,
proclaiming.
I'm declaring that word.
Amen.
And also, something other here that come up, I just got to praise God for this, because God gave this in my heart when
mm-hmm.
I was praying about it, because, and I don't want to say it in a wrong way, that Carmen criticizes me a lot, okay? But I take it the wrong way sometimes,
mm-hmm.
okay? So God, in my heart, put this and carried me to Proverbs.
Okay.
And I want to read what it says.
Okay.
Because I'm working on this myself.
Okay.
Okay? And it says, a cheerful look brings joy to the heart. Good news makes good for good health. If you listen to constructive criticism,
mm-hmm.
you will be at home among the wise.
Wow.
If you reject criticism, you only harm yourself. But if you listen to correction, you grow in understanding.
Amen.
He brought that to my heart.
Amen.
Because I've been, when she's been saying things, not to harm me, but to give me correction or whatever. I've been rejecting it and been snapping back at her in a wrong way. And God says, Robert, go to Proverbs and read what?
And speak that word. Write it out on an index card and keep it in front of you all the time and speak it over you.
But I praise God for the wisdom. See, God will give you the wisdom you need
if
you pray for it and ask.
That's right. Proverbs 15,
It's Proverbs 15, starting with verse 31, 32, and 33.
Proverbs 15, 31 through 33. Okay, Miss Joanne.
Mm-hmm. I heard a really good teaching last week, and he was saying that our problem is that as Christians, that we forget that we are spirit beings, and we are supernatural. And that when we pray, we're actually praying in the past because everything has already been done. And we're bringing it in. We want it to come into the now. And it's going to impact our future.
Hallelujah.
It's to impact our future. And it was just so good the way he's, and it's going back to what, you know, declaring.
Mm-hmm.
We're declaring what's already,
happened.
Has happened.
Yes, what's already been established.
But we have to remember who we are.
Yes.
And because we're in the world, so we're in the world, but we are not of the
world. That's right.
So we're supposed to think, speak, and walk differently because we're supernatural beings.
That's right. Yeah. That is right. Amen. That's good. When you pray, you're praying for something
that has already
that
happened.
Already
we're
happened.
Declaring.
That's right. That's right. You're praying concerning the future. And you wouldn't sit there and pray for something you already have. Right? And also, God's really already done it.
He's already done
it. He's already done it.
He said, yeah, and when he's, it's already done. So we're actually praying in the past.
Praying in the past.
Yeah, we're praying in the past because it's already done.
Bringing it to the future.
And we're bringing it into the now. Into the now.
Because in Christ Jesus, it's already done.
It's already done. And he's like, even when it happened, it's late. But yet it's on time. Because it's already been done.
Amen.
It's like healing. Like my mom.
It's already healed.
Yes.
She believed in Jesus'
name. Yes.
I'm coming. So a declaration is what we already have.
Yes.
So we're going to find out after Mr. Loris shares what is a decree. If a declaration is what we already have, what we're carrying inside of us, the very life of Christ inside of us, and everything he's already provided for us, then what's a decree?
I just want us to look on John 17 and the first and second verse when Jesus said to his Father, these are the words speak Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said unto his Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. So now, if we are in Christ, and the hour is come when it coming and we should do it, we has to lift up our, we have to lift up our thoughts, our voices unto God, and talk to the Lord. Talk from our heart, and then he will give us the power and the strength that we need. Let I give you one information on myself. Sunday I was in the house by myself. I think I should be in church. I was just coughing away and doing everything. And I said, I sit down and I begin to talk to the Lord. And he take me to David. When David go out in the field and come back and call for all the musicians and dance. And dance till his clothes fall off him. So I get up and I turn on the stereo and I take off my dressing gown and I dance. I dance. I dance before God. You know? Because that's what he said must do. In praise, giving you praise, sometimes you praise until you sweat. You'd get no answer. Because that's not the way the Lord wants you to come before him. Come before him with a dance. Come before him with praise. Come before him with supplication. Come before him and know that he is God. And he's watching us. And then he give me the power, the strength, that when I finish two of the record, I just fall back on the bed. I could only go two. But I did it.
Amen. Glory to God.
So sometimes it's not the prayer. It's the joy that coming from you and know that you trust him with your whole heart. And that joy just got like a sweet smelling perfume.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. You got a clap on that one. Anna's mom gave you a clap on that one. Okay, decreeing. And I'm just going to go through some of these, and I'm going to let you go look that up. Look the scripture up for yourself. I'm not going to go through all these, okay? I'm going to mention them, and then we're going to talk about them briefly, and we're going to move on. We're going to explain what a decree is, and then we're going to practice this morning, okay? We got to practice it, okay?
Amen.
Okay, 1 Corinthians 7:37 in Greek, the number is 29:19, and it means to decide mentally or judicially. Judicially. Okay. It means to decide firmly or firmly established in the heart, in the soul. Okay. A decree is something that you have got to establish in your soul that it's so. Okay. Let's look at it like this. A declaration is by the stripes on Jesus' back. I am healed. That's the declaration. A decree is when I establish that declaration mentally in my soul and judicially. I decide beyond all doubt. No, this is truth. This is what God said. God has passed his verdict on sickness, and he did that. He judged sickness at the whipping post. He judged it, and he found it to be illegal and unlawful, right? He judged in Christ Jesus. So it's a judicial term. You've got to decide it not only in your soul, but you've got to get it deep, so deep down inside of you that you are convinced beyond any doubt that this is totally the will of God for your life.
Yes.
You've got to get established. Okay, now, when you read this, let me just explain this to you so you know when you read it. We're not going to read it now. Paul was talking to the church about people who decide whether to get married or not married. He said, if you decide to get married, if you can contain your lust, then don't get married. That's good. But if you can't contain your lust and you need to get married, then get married, okay? And that's just it in a nutshell, okay? And even though that might not seem like to be a very spiritual example this morning, but the example is very true because Paul says here, those who have firmly decided. In this passage, he's saying, you have firmly decided and settled it in your soul that marriage is for you or marriage is not for you. You firmly have decided it in your soul that there's no going back. You're convinced beyond all doubt that this is God's will for your life.
Amen.
Okay? Okay, so I said all that so that I could bring home this point that when you decide here, it's to decide firmly. It's firmly established in the heart. Okay? Now let's go to Job 22:28, and that's going to be in the Hebrew. That's number 1504. That means to cut down or off. To destroy, divide. It sounds like this loosing up here, doesn't it? Okay, you got that? It means to cut down or off, to divide, to exclude or decide. Now, I put exclude or decide in bold print here. And in the Strong's Concordance, it had decide in a colon. You see that little dash there. Decide what? You've got to decide. You've got to make a decision what you're going to cut down. Come on, church. You've got to make a decision what you're going to divide in your life. What does the Word of God say? To rightly divide the Word of truth.
Yes.
You've got to make a decision. You've got to make a decision in your soul. This is what God wants me to have. Because if you try to make a declaration and you have not convinced in your soul that this is the will of God for you, you're going to have a battle anyway.
Yeah.
But you're going to have an even stronger battle.
Yeah.
If you haven't decided inside of yourself. No, it is God's will for me to be healed. I make this declaration by the stripes on his back. I am healed regardless. I decree my healing in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I've already decided in my soul, and I have decided, and I am convinced beyond all doubt that it is his will, and I am healed. Carmen, you have something to say right now. I can't let anybody share. It won't ever finish, but I'll go to you right now.
No, this is a good example out of the Word I read last week in Daniel. When they were getting ready to throw them into the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Because then people will want to take that as a negative, where Daniel said, but if God doesn't, no. He first said, our God will deliver. What he was saying that people might preach as a negative, but oh, if God doesn't. No, he was decreeing that no matter what you do to us, we're decreeing that no matter what you do to us, we will still worship the God of heaven. We will still worship the God of Israel.
That is good. That is good.
He said, no, he said, my God will deliver us.
And he did.
But even if he did not, I will still worship him. He wasn't being negative, saying, God might and God might not. No, he said, no, our God will deliver us.
Yeah.
My decree is I'm going to still worship him.
Okay, so I just saw something when you said that. We focus on whether he got put in the fire or not.
Mm-hmm.
But no, God, the real focus was the worship.
The worship.
That's what he was decreeing,
yes.
His worship of God.
Yes, and that's exactly
he
what I meant.
He wasn't decreeing the fire or not the fire.
No, that's right.
He was decreeing his worship.
He was worship. Amen.
Okay.
I thought that was a good example.
A declaration is what God's already provided. But a decree is when you stand your ground. When you have decided in your heart, you can't be wimpy about it.
No.
And that's why you have to get along with God.
Yes.
You have to communicate with heaven. You have to have it resolved in your word.
Yes.
No matter who, Paul said, even though someone comes to you and they appear to be an angel and they preach the doctrine of a devil, you do not believe them.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Because you are convinced beyond all doubt. No, this is what God's word says, and I'm standing on it.
Yes.
That's
yes.
the difference between a declaration and a decree.
Yes.
A decree you don't have yet. A declaration you have. You're waiting for your children, for the manifestation of the salvation of your children.
Yes.
So you declare, the greater the peace of my children, they are taught by the Lord.
Yes.
And that's the death. I declare that. So my decree is every force of hell that is against my children's salvation, you will not prevail.
That's right.
Now let's go on a little further because I'm not making it real plain. So let's go on so I can make it even more plain.
That's what I meant earlier about that second atmosphere.
Yes, that's right.
That's where the gates are clashing.
That's where your fight is.
Yes.
Your fight, there's a place in Proverbs that says in the time of trouble, whether it's physical or mental, it is the spirit of a man that sustains him.
Mm-hmm.
It is the spirit of a man that sustains him.
Yeah.
In the time of trouble, your strength comes from your spirit.
Yeah, yes.
Your spirit man is what sustains you and gets you through that.
Mm-hmm.
And God's word is what? His word is spirit,
yes.
And it is life.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
When we decide and decree what God said, we cut off any opposition against the fulfillment of the promise.
Amen.
When we decide and decree what God said, we cut off any opposition against the fulfillment of the promise. Now look at that verse. I'm not going to turn there, but Job 22:28. Jot down Job 22:21. He says there, now if you show yourself to be acquainted with the Almighty, look at that. Maybe I better read that. I'm talking about is communication. It's a binding yourself to God and what's going on in heaven. When you bind yourself to what is going on in heaven and you bind yourself to God's will, there can no demon. Y'all, everybody's been through stuff. Oh my God, everybody.
Say praying first and then decreeing and then declaring.
Well, praying. Well, they're all, well, really, in this passage, the loosing, the binding is the praying. But yes, so you can, it was like Joanne said, you're praying really for things that haven't happened yet. You're asking God for something obviously that hasn't happened, right? So you're praying, and after you ask God for it, then you make a declaration that according to His word, like you're praying, asking for healing, then you make a declaration by the stripes on His back, I am healed, and then you decree, you fight against any opposition against that healing. Does that make sense?
No, it makes sense, but to me, it sounds and it looks like you would say probably, I pray or I bind, and then I do the decreeing, bind everything, and then I declare it's done. To me, it works out in that order in my head. I don't know if it's right or not, but you know how I work things out. So
yeah.
In my head, I say that I pray and I bind, and then I decree that everything that is against whatever the situation is, I'm just going to cut down, and I decided that it's not going to happen. It's the way that God wants it to happen, and I declare that it's done.
Well, I'm going to make a statement here, okay? And really, prayer is really just communion with God.
Yeah.
It's really not.
Let's just say
I think when we first get born again, and we're small infants in Christ, we ask and ask and ask for stuff. But as we grow on in God, prayer just becomes more of like a meeting with God. Mm-hmm. It becomes a more of like a communing with Him. Because as we grow in God, we move in a lot of ways, we move even past the asking. We move past the asking into really the declaring what we know is already ours.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I don't have a problem with the praying. The part that no problem. I just thought that in my order in my head.
Yes, I understand.
And declaring and decreeing that it should decree should come first and then declaring.
We'll explain why because we haven't gotten into the rest of it yet, Carmen.
Because. We still, and it's right. It's not that it's incorrect, but that's too where we're always saying that, Lord, you are in control, and He is, but in some respects, He's not, because for whatever reason He wanted, we don't really know the fullness of this, why He wanted it this way, but He wanted us to work with Him.
Right.
So he says, sweetie?
Willingly.
Yeah, he wants that's us to work. And so when we're always just in that prayer mode and God do this and that's where we're always just, okay, God, will you be in control? He is in control, but again, for whatever reason, He wanted us to be co-laborers with Him.
Mm-hmm.
No, child, this is the part that I want you to do. So as Kathy said, as we're growing and moving and we're reading the Word, and sometimes even when we're speaking the Word, it starts coming out with power. Mm-hmm. It comes out with decree. Mm-hmm. And we tell the enemy, we tell the atmosphere what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
We're being a laborer and a co-laborer with God. So Anna, that's where the prayer becomes where we just go and meet and we just sit with God. That's what, the declaration is where God shows us in His Word what all belongs to us, and we declare that it's ours.
It depends.
And then the decree is as soldiers of God, as the army of God, we go through our daily life decreeing what we declare to be ours. We decree how it's going to be. We don't tell the enemy or the natural man what we say.
Amen.
We decree what it's going to be. that help anymore?
And there's not necessarily an order. You don't have to pray first and then declare and decree. Yeah, okay. It depends on what the circumstance and the situation is. I'll get to you. I'll come right back. It depends on the circumstance and the situation. Like, you're not going to pray for something you've already prayed for. There's going to be a time then when you're going to declare it.
Yes.
And then there's going to be a time that you've already declared, but you've had to fight against it. The decree is where you fight against the enemy who's trying to work against what you've already declared. Mm-hmm. Who's trying to take away what... So it's not like a pattern. It's not like... And thank you for that question, because that brings an understanding. It's not like, first I have to pray about it, then I have to declare it, and then I have to decree it. It depends on the circumstance in your life.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you ask Jose, for a dozen of roses for Valentine's Day, I won't have this on the web by then. But then you've already asked him once, then you trust that he's going to do that, and you're not going to ask him again, right? Same way with your father. If you've asked him, right? Okay.
That's Thursday morning, I woke up in a battle.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy, I had to battle, and I had to declare and tell him that God had already went to the cross. He died. You are a liar. You're a toothless liar. You've gone back to the pits of hell where you came from, because God already went there after he died on the cross, went there, and he got life back. He made you toothless, and you are nothing. I just woke up, and I was in a battle with him, and I had to tell him where he had to go.
Amen.
And
Amen.
What... You know, it's already won. The battle's already won, because God has went on the cross. He's done this for
Amen.
Me. I don't know what the battle was, but I had to wake up and I had to do that.
Mm.
And I was like in a scream. And I was so like. And so that
you
was declaring.
Amen. And decreeing.
Because it was already done.
Right.
God has already won. The battle is already won. So I know you're a liar.
Yeah, so you had to enforce it.
Yes.
Then decreeing is enforcing it.
Amen.
It's what you don't have to see the manifest. Decreeing is what you don't see the manifestation of yet, but you know it's yours.
Yes.
Yes.
But you know it's yours because he's already declared it's yours.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And going to Job said, first you show yourself to be acquainted with the Almighty and be at peace with God. Verse 21. And then he says, then you shall decree and declare. Well, I think he says just decree. Let me read in the Amplified. He says, you shall decree a matter and it shall be established for you.
Amen. It will rise.
First, you show yourself to be acquainted with the Almighty.
Amen.
First, there's that communication. There's that heaven to earth going on. Then you decree it and it shall be established for you.
Amen. That was a good personal.
I wanted to comment on what Carmen was trying to explain about God is in control, but then at the same time he's not, because his word says that heaven is his home, but earth he has given to man.
That's right.
And see, he wants to work in and through us.
Yes.
And a good example of that is going to Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. Could I read it a little bit?
Yes. Thank you, Joanne.
And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction on my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me.
Mm.
And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptian oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. God is in control, but he want to use us.
Yes,
that's right. Like
so we have to learn and realize the authority that we have right here on earth.
Yes.
That he has given. Everything's already been done.
Mm-hmm.
And he has given. He said, I got the keys. And I'm giving them to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Now you go
yes.
and take. You
yes.
go and conquer. And like he told Joshua, you know, he told Joshua what to do. And I'm going, I'm going with you. But Joshua had to move.
You got to move.
Yeah, and in that Matthew, Jesus said, I have given you the keys. And if you look up that keys, it's things that you can open a door and shut a door.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. That's correct. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Going back to what, I lost track here now. Where God says, you know, even salvation, he says in Matthew, he says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in the heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to do the same thing with everything else. If you confess,
being
healing,
mm-hmm.
it's going to come to pass.
And believe in your heart.
Yeah, and believe in your heart, it's going to be done. Because even Psalm says, he forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases.
That's correct.
So anything, if you confess it with your mouth and you believe it in your heart, it's going to come to pass because God doesn't lie. You know, so,
amen.
So if all you got to do is confess it and all.
Amen.
And believe what you're, you know, what you're confessing.
Amen.
And you know, I get sometimes people come into my shop and I get all kind of upset in my soul sometimes and I have to, you know, under my breath, you know, ask God to direct me and, you know, forgive me if I get wrong or anything like that. But some people come in and they'll say things. You know, I heard one gentleman said the other day, and I meant to ask you this question too, and if I'm wrong, correct me, because just like I said before, criticism is not going to hurt me anymore.
Okay.
You know, as long as it's
correction.
Correction.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard a fellow say that, you know, he was preaching to a lot of people, and he said, you know, you are a child of God. Being a child of God to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, like I'm saying, when he said, you are a child of God, that doesn't mean that you are a believer for the simple reason God created the human race. You're a child of God because he created you.
You're an offspring of God.
Right. But that doesn't mean that you are a believer for the simple reason, just like I said in Matthew, that thou shalt confess with thy heart, mouth, and believe in the heart that God... You are supposed to be a child of Jesus, which makes you a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
Just being a child of God does not make you a believer.
We're all the offspring of creation.
Do you follow what I'm trying to say?
Yes, we all are all the offspring and creation of God. We were all made in His likeness and His image.
Is there a lot of people... Or child of God, but it's the wrong God.
Well, no, to be a child of God, you must be born again.
That's what I'm saying.
You must be born again.
Again.
Yes.
You can't be a child of God.
You can't say we're all God's children. No, we're not. Not unless you're born again.
That gets me, and correct me if I'm wrong, that's what he was saying in a church. And he didn't mention Jesus.
Okay.
So that's why I'm saying there are false teachers out there that, you know, maybe I'm getting off the subject.
Okay, let's get back on the subject. Okay, Esther 4:3, I'm just going to read this and I want you to go for yourself. It means a royal edict, a royal edict. I mean, it came from royalty, okay? Well, that's obvious. We know who the king is, and in our kingdom, that's Jesus, okay? And Esther 9:32 means something authoritatively said, okay? A decree is something authoritatively said. You say it with authority, and you say it with authority because you know you have authority. If you speak to a child or go into a room, I've seen people go into a room, I've seen teachers go into a room and start yelling and carrying on. No child in the room obeys anything they say. They even add more chaos to the room. Then I've seen teachers go into the room very softly and say, now I know that these were not the instructions I gave you when I left. Now please, everybody take a seat. See, that teacher did not have to raise her voice to have authority.
Yes.
When you have to command authority, you don't really have it.
Right.
You speak with authority. You speak what God said. You have to know that you have the authority in Christ Jesus. When you know that you have the authority in Christ Jesus, then when you are decreeing, you are speaking with authority. That's what this word means, okay? Speaking with authority. There's been a royal edict. That means heaven has made a decree. Heaven has made a decree here. This is heaven's decree, and I'm not backing down from it. In Greek, your Greek definition there means a law, and it comes from the base word of the same thing, of the same mean, to think or be accounted. It's an accounting term. To be of reputation, to seem good, to seem truthful or uncertainly. That doesn't mean that you're not convinced about, that does not mean that you're not convinced that this is truth. It means that you have removed all uncertainness, that you are sure beyond a doubt. You have considered and made a decision. You have firmly established in your heart that this is what you believe and that's what you're going to decree. And when you decree it, you cut down or off, or you destroy, or you divide, or you exclude, or you cut off the enemy, the works of the enemy, when you do a decree, when you make a decree. But the key here, once again, is that you have to speak with authority. You have to establish it deep inside you and know that you have authority. What did the Word of God say? My people perish for lack of knowledge.
Yes.
That they don't know what you have authority over.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, I give you the right to use my name. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go in my name and cast the devil out.
Amen.
That's what he said. You cast the demons out in my name.
Amen.
Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover.
Amen.
Nothing will by any means harm you or hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You have authority to make disciples of other people. The pastor is not the one exclusively to disciple other people. You have authority. He said, go and baptize. You have the authority to baptize someone. You have the authority to baptize someone. If you have led them to Christ, you have the authority to baptize them.
Amen.
He was speaking to his disciples there.
Amen.
Okay, so let's go on. Let's go on. Decrees bring the truth of heaven to earth. Matthew 6:10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Decrees are the same as the will and purpose of God.
Mm-hmm.
They're the same. Our decrees must be based on His Word.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go around decreeing just anything you want to decree.
Right. Right.
It's like the seven sons of Sceva who had got beat up.
Yes.
When we make a decree, it should be what we have decided. We are convinced beyond all doubt that this is the will of God because we are speaking with the authority of Christ who has already made a judicial decision concerning the matter and He will back us up.
Amen.
Do you get that?
Yes.
Our decree is based on His Word. Our decree is based on His Word will cut down or off and destroy the plans of the enemy. When you make a decree, you are cutting off, you're destroying the plans of the enemy. You're dividing. Okay, a house divided cannot stand, right?
That's right.
When they accused Jesus of casting the devil out by the power of devil, He said Satan can't cast himself out.
Right.
A house divided cannot stand.
No.
When you decree or declare and you make declarations, you are causing a division to the plan of the enemy.
Woo! Somebody should have shouted right there. You let me do it all by myself. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
Read that last one again. I know they were just letting it soak.
Our decrees are based on the Word, on His Word. Our decrees based on his Word will cut down or cut off or destroy or divide the plans of the enemy. Declarations are making known what we already have in Christ.
Amen.
What has been manifested. While decrees are speaking out promises that are yet to be manifested.
Amen. Okay, Amen. This is good clarification.
Okay, good. Okay, here's the decree. And here's this lady's example, and I can't give any better than this. And Carmen has shared this with me. And this came from out of the Charisma magazine. Her name is Elizabeth Nixon, and it was published 2/28/2014. This is what she has to say, and then we're going to do this, okay? But before I read that, look at the bottom. When we decree, this is what happens when you decree. See, we stop at the declaration, by the stripes on Jesus' back, I'm healed. But when we feel the force against the declaration, then that's where we stop and we can't give up then. We have to, that's where the decreeing, the power comes in to decree. Like Jackie had to wake up that morning, she had a battle. She felt a battle in the spirit realm. When we decree, we speak God's blessings upon our life. Okay? We institute, that should be thee. We institute the very will and purpose of God. No, this is what God, this is what God wants to happen. This is what's going to happen, Satan. No, this is what's going to happen, Satan.
Yes.
This is what's going to happen, devil. We separate and destroy the plans of the enemy. When you decree and declare, you separate and destroy the plans of, because here's the word of God being spoken. Oh, they're standing their ground. Oh, what am I going to do? It's the same thing with Jesus. He fled from him.
Yes.
And I'm not trying to be all cute and coy when I say this. And we say he's fled for a season. He came back. Well, why does the devil come back? I'm not trying to be cute and coy when I say this. But y'all, you have to remember, I'm really not. He's brain dead.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to make a joke. I'm as serious as I can be. Mm-hmm. Y'all, back in the Garden of Eden, mm-hmm. when Satan the serpent deceived Adam and Eve, mm-hmm. well, he deceived Eve. Adam was not deceived. He deceived Eve, and Adam submitted to Eve instead of taking his place and saying, no, we're not going to do this. Okay? The Bible does not say that he deceived. He deceived Eve. She ate it. She brought it to him, and he ate it. Okay, so that was a different subject. But God made a proclamation. God got involved, right?
Mm-hmm.
Heaven to earth.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
God got involved. Mm-hmm. He said, listen, you'll crawl on your belly, and you'll eat the dust of the earth. You know what Satan feeds off of? Flesh. He feeds off of your anger and your bitterness and your wrath. No, not yours. I declare that. That's not. No, I declare and I decree. No, we have no. The only root allowed in us is the root of love. He feeds off of your flesh.
Yes. And more, your emotions.
And the more angry you get, the weaker you feel.
Yes.
The angrier you get, the more strength you lose. When you react through anger, you lose strength.
Yeah.
At the moment you have that rush of adrenaline in you, and you think you're strong and mighty, let me blurt it out. But honey, you are losing strength.
Mm-hmm.
When you operate in anger, you are hurting yourself.
Yes.
You're destroying your own strength.
Are you losing things just like you did at the international airport when you didn't declare something?
That's right. That's right.
You lost it.
Okay. Let me get back on point. Okay, God said, you'll crawl on the dust on your belly and you eat the dust of the earth.
Amen.
Yes, you might have bruised his heel.
Let me have your leg, Mama.
You might have bruised his heel, Satan, but I'm going to crush your head.
Yes.
He's going to crush your head. He has been delivered a death blow to his head.
Mm-hmm.
He don't know. He's already been told he's lost, but he thinks he's going to win.
Yes.
He keeps on. It's the truth.
Yes.
Remember, Jesus bruised his head.
Yes.
He has a bruised head. He's walking around with a bruised head.
Mm-hmm.
He still thinks he's going to win.
Yes.
But you've got to tell him you've already lost.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's keep on going, and then we're gonna do this. We separate and destroy the plans of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
We impose a judgment the enemy cannot oppose.
Mm-hmm.
When you decree. The declaration's already been done for you, but when you decree what God's already declared for you, when you decree, like when you go through customs, yes, that's my fruit.
Yes.
And I decree you're not taking it from me.
Mm-hmm.
I just declared it and it's mine and you're not taking it from me.
Oh, now that was good.
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 I've already declared it. I've already put it out in the atmosphere. And glory to God. I've already put it out in the atmosphere, and I've already declared it. And because I've declared it, I decree you can't take it.
That was good.
Now let me read what this lady has to say, because this is really good, and then we're going to make a declaration, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to make several declarations. Let me read this, because this is really good. And those of you who want a copy, I'll make a copy of this for you, okay?
Please preach this to your mama, because I don't want her going to Puerto Rico and think they're weird.
It's funny, they took her apple from her luggage. So her food was taken away.
Oh!
No.
Okay.
She's gonna be restored.
She was not.
She's restored.
But if she put it in the normal, like when you go on the hand pack, whatever, mm-hmm. the carry on.
Yeah.
And they, you know,
I'm sorry, that would be.
Well, that's, but you know what? That'll preach right there too, because you got to be open about what you got
in
Christ Jesus. You know, Spirit. Okay.
She didn't know any better, but anyway.
No, that's good. Okay. Yeah, amen. Okay, let's see. Let me read this for you. It is true, decrees in the spirit realm. When we decree God's provision and blessing over our lives, and anything opposed against our provision and blessing can have no further say in the matter. Mm-hmm. When we decree God's peace and unity in our family, then anything purposed against peace and unity has no valid objection or standing to come against us. Mm. Okay? In Hebrew, there in your notes, decree means to divide, separate, and destroy. We talked about that, right? Mm-hmm. This definition reveals more what happens in the spirit realm. When we decree, I am blessed, that's Psalms 112:1. Blessed and happy, fortunate is the man who walks with God. Okay, who obeys his commandments and walks with God. We read that this morning, right? When you decree, I am blessed, y'all, it's just not going around saying, I am blessed. You got to know what you're saying.
Yes.
Amen.
I am happy, I am fortunate, and I am to be envied.
Yes.
In the right way.
Yes.
I'm provoking others to godly jealousy.
Yes.
That they'll want to walk with God and be blessed. Okay, listen. I am blessed. We establish the blessing while separating ourselves from anything purposed against it and destroying the plans of the enemy. When you decree, I am blessed, what you are doing in the spirit realm is you are separating yourself from anything that is against you being blessed.
Amen.
And you're destroying any of the plans of the enemy to come against you. To steal any blessing.
Amen.
I am blessed.
I am blessed.
Amen.
My gate big.
I decree. I am blessed. When you decree my children are strong and full of integrity.
Yes.
This is inspired by Psalms 112:2. We divide our children's strength from their weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
Divide.
Mm-hmm.
We divide our children's strength from their weaknesses. And separate dishonesty and unrighteousness from within their midst and in their hearts.
Amen.
When you decree, you're making a separation.
Yes.
You're making a divide. You're cutting something off.
Jesus.
When we decree my home brims with wealth,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We establish our wealth and we destroy the spirits of lack and poverty.
Amen.
Amen. Decree. I'll make some copies of this for those that would like that article. Okay. So come on. Open your Bible. Come on. Open your Bible. It's time to practice. Here's my note, but I'll get it through, but I'll get it in a minute. Okay, let's just practice on Psalms 12. 112. Yes, Psalms 112. Thank you. Holy Spirit, guide us. Holy Spirit, guide us. Remember what decree means. It means to cut down or off,
yeah.
To destroy, to divide. Okay? So we're going to make some decrees. And anyone that wants to add to this declaration, you add to it. You add to it. Okay, you ready? I'll say it, and then because I'm reading from another translation, so it's kind of hard for us to read in unity. So I'll say it, and you say it. I'll say it, and then we'll say it again. Praise the Lord.
Praise
the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I am blessed.
I am blessed.
I am happy.
I am happy.
I am fortunate.
I am fortunate.
I am to be envied.
I am to be envied.
Because I fear.
Because I fear,
I reverence,
and I worship,
the Lord,
and I delight greatly,
in His commandments. So therefore,
the enemy's plans
against me.
Against me.
I divide.
I divide.
And I destroy.
I destroy.
And I null.
And I null.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Number two. His offspring, shall be mighty upon the earth.
Shall be mighty upon the earth.
My offspring, are mighty, upon the earth.
Upon the earth.
They are this generation.
They are this generation
that walk upright.
That walk upright
and shall be blessed.
And shall be blessed.
Anything, that comes against, this decree, I call, them divided, I call them cut off, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Third verse, prosperity and welfare,
are in
my house,
and
righteousness, my righteousness, endures forever. In the name of Jesus, the spirit of poverty, and lack, has been cut off, from my house. Amen.
Amen.
Are you getting it?
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Somebody else want to do it?
Hallelujah.
Somebody else want to do it? Just remember, when you make that decree, what you're doing. You're cutting off. You're dividing. You're just... Amen. What was the other word? Glory to God.
You're cutting off and dividing and destroying.
Destroying. To cutting down or off, to divide, to destroy. Amen. Okay, Carmen, you ready for your declaration?
Amen.
Declaration and decree. I said anybody else.
Oh,
I thought you said you wanted to apologize.
No. What I am gonna finish adding on this is that you think about a courtroom. Okay? When the testimony comes forth, okay, the man's held guilty, but they're innocent. And when the testimony comes forth, then that out of it cuts and divides the truth from what was not truth, from the lie. The truth cuts off the lie.
That's right.
And that judge issues a decree that I hold you not guilty. You are free to go.
Glory to God.
And then it could be the opposite. Mm-hmm. If you are guilty, da da da. But let's go with the positive. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Satan, our gate is bigger than your gate.
That's
hallelujah.
Right.
Because my God, my Jesus said that your gate will not prevail against the church.
That's right.
And I declare today that we are the church of the Most High God. We are the children. And upon this revelation that we have been given, hallelujah, you will not prevail against us. We know our declarations. We declare that we are the righteousness of God. We declare that we are the healed of God. We declare that we are the saved of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We declare that we are the ambassadors that He has put in this earth, because He has given the earth to the children of men, of who we are. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And upon this revelation today, we decree that these things belong to us, because we have given us the word. Hallelujah. And we will bring this word as a decree unto you, and you are divided and you are cut off from our children and from everything. Hallelujah. That you have come against us, we cut you off. Today we decree that you have no part of us. And in the name of Jesus, I'm going to step out and decree that I don't know how God will do it, but you will put back into our bank account what you stole.
Woo!
In the name of Jesus. If my God's got to send an angel, hallelujah, into the bank, we will look at our account and we will say, how did that get there? Hallelujah. Because our God said that He has found you to be a thief. And when we find the thief, the thief has to restore it. The thief has to bring it back. And the thief not only has to bring it back, he's got to bring it back sevenfold. Hallelujah. So I how much is in there, and there's going to be a day, and it's not going to be many days, it's going to be in a few days. Creator, I thank you that I decree in this house that you reset. Hallelujah. I thank you that you love to create. I thank you, Lord God, that everything that had failed, everything that had been delayed, everything that we even did wrong, I thank you, Lord God, that today I decree it's a reset. I thank you for recreating. Recreate, oh God, because of your love for us. Lord God, I declare that you so love us, Lord God. I decree in that love, Lord God, that you are recreating, recreating what we love, recreate what we messed up, recreate what we gave up and what was delayed in the name of Jesus. Recreate, Father God. Recreate, Father God. And because it comes from your hand, you said, Lord God, that it would be without stress, it will be without toil, because it's from your hand. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.